Hello, friends. Patrick McFarlane here of the Liberty Bigley podcast. Welcome back to another episode. I hope you've been enjoying the Liberty Bigley podcast lately. I know I've been putting out a lot of new content and I've been enjoying doing it. It's been really simple. And I've been saying when I took my hiatus, the font of ideas was not flowing. But alas, I am now brimming with ideas and topics to talk about and just diving right back into it. So today I wanted to talk about the fact checkers and this thing that's been coming into prominence lately, fact checking. And James Corbett of the Corbett Report, I'm a big fan of James Corbett. He's been on, he's been on the show a couple times. But he came out with an episode this June called Who Will Check the Fact Checkers? And I wanted to frame this episode. I'm going to talk about something I ran into, a Facebook exchange that I had that wasn't negative, because I've learned my lessons about getting in pissing contests on Facebook and about where my time is best allocated. And I am turning it into, instead of arguing, I'm turning it into an episode where I can speak to receptive minds. Sorry about that. And let's start off with James Corbett's words on the fact-checking phenomenon.
James Evan Peloto on New World Next Week. In the past, the conspiracy theorist thought-stopping pejorative label that has held sway over the public's imagination for the past half century as a convenient term for basically pigeonholing, smearing, and ignoring any inconvenient information to official narratives is losing its power as people start to realize that it is a term that is vastly overused and is used to stop inquiry into very important subjects. So some sort of new term needed to come to the fore. And lo and behold, here we have fake news, this dreaded new phenomenon that is going to, oh my God, it's taking over your grandma's mind or whatever the way that it's being framed. And of course, this has taken the form of all of the fact-checking and debunking sites that have risen to such prominence, especially over the past few years. And I'm sure, again, we've all encountered this among friends or family or other people we've tried to spread information to. Oh, you're talking about that? Well, that's been fact-checked. That's been debunked. Oh, you're not sharing that link, are you? And yes, as I'm sure you've noticed, the Corbett Report is no stranger to this treatment. In fact, if some unsuspecting but well-meaning normie goes to Google, heaven forfend, for more information about the Corbett Report, one of the first things they're going to encounter is some fact checker site or other that will remain nameless that likes to categorize such sites as the Corbett Report and has categorized the Corbett Report as a tinfoil hat conspiracy site with moderate levels of pseudoscience because I talk about things like the deep state, or I have alternative ideas about 9/11. And, well, how are you going to argue with that? Well, you told me to look at this piece of information from this site called the Corbett Report, but look, that site's a conspiracy theorist site. So I can turn my brain off. I don't have to look at the information or the sources of the information that are hyperlinked there so I can go and actually read the source documents. No. I have learned from this website, which for some reason I'm placing over top of my own cognitive faculties and as ruler of my world and my imagination, they've told me that I can't look into this, so I'm not going to. It is a convenient thing, isn't it? So yes, don't worry, poor dear sheeple out there, confused sheeple who just don't have time to think or to actually read or to look at sources or to come to your own decisions. Don't worry, turn off your brain, because the very same mainstream corporate establishment media that's never lied to you about anything before will not only tell you and identify this dreaded scourge of fake news that's flooding the internet, but they will also tell you exactly how to deal with it.
So he gets into a very Orwellian bit about how you should, according to these websites, how you need to deal with someone, CBC, on how to talk to someone who's spreading COVID-19 misinformation. So I would encourage everyone to check out that episode by James Corbett. That's at CorbettReport.com. That's episode 381. Who will fact check the fact checkers? Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, report.com. Check that out. But this leads me to this exchange that I had today. So I'm not going to dive into the source material itself about this, but there was a giant bombshell revelation today, a story by the New York Post, which is curious in of itself, about the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden secret emails, and about how Joe Biden actually, according to emails that were on a laptop that Hunter Biden dropped off to get repaired and then just never picked up, there were a bunch of emails on the laptop. And according to, if you believe the story, if you believe the sources, that this computer repair shop went into the emails and found these emails that were between Hunter Biden and this Ukrainian oil executive. And there was basically a Hunter Biden introduced this Ukrainian oil executive to Joe Biden, who Joe Biden then, this is as I understand it, I haven't looked into it way too much, but as I understand it, Joe Biden did a quid pro quo for these oil executives and secured lucrative contracts for them. And in exchange, the oil executive, the Ukrainian oil executive, gave Hunter Biden a position on in his company that paid $50,000 a month. And Hunter Biden had no experience in the natural gas or oil industry. And it was all a big sham. And this the first thing that I noticed, because it started to leak onto Facebook and people started sharing it. And the other big story is that Facebook has been censoring this Washington Post story or a New York Post story. And I have been posting it all around and I haven't gotten banned or haven't gotten a slap on the fingers or anything like that. So I don't know exactly about, you know, whether or not Facebook, I have not witnessed Facebook actively censoring this story. And I've talked about it in the messages and I haven't shared Tim Pool videos about him talking about it, but I just haven't witnessed that. And so someone that I know who I'm a friend, I actually know them in real life. Most of my Facebook friends are not people I've met in real life. However, someone that I do know, which is the ex-boyfriend of a high school friend that I have, but somehow we're still friends, and he posted a story from nationalfile.com entitled "New York Post Publishes Photo of Hunter Biden Sleeping with Crack Pipe in His Mouth" from the National File. And first off, this is detracting from what the actual story is. The actual story is not that Hunter Biden is a crackhead. I mean, that's part of the story, and I guess it kind of hurts Joe Biden, but it really does detract from the big story, which is that I was chatting with Kyle Anzalone in our Libertarian Union group of Kyle Anzalone of Conflicts of Interest with Will Porter. Great show. Check that out. Type it in your podcatchers. But he was saying that the big, big story from this is that the Democrats impeached Trump over the fact that Trump had asked in a phone call, some Ukrainian prosecutor to look into the Bidens. And apparently that was a quid pro quo because he was quote unquote withholding foreign aid, which he eventually gave anyways, without the quid pro quo being executed, without the Ukrainian prosecutor actually looking into it. So that's what they impeached Donald Trump over. They impeached, but didn't remove him. But it turns out that Trump, if this report from the New York Post is true, then Trump was legitimate. I mean, his request for the Ukrainian prosecutor to look into Hunter Biden was legitimate, and that's a big deal. I mean, the whole narrative of the impeachment collapses, and that it's just political. And I mean, you would have to think that politicians would have more complete knowledge of the situation than we would as mere plebs. However, I digress. This acquaintance that I have posted a story from the National File on it. And one of the first, this is just your inane Facebook garbage, normie girl, she wrote, and you're going to talk shit and judge people who are losing a battle with addiction. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, and best friends, coworkers, people in your lifetime who you know will die from addiction. Good for you, man. Thumbs up. So, yes, the story is definitely Hunter Biden having a crack pipe. And if you dare to criticize Joe Biden's son because they've been having problems, criticize him about his addiction and you are a jerk. And someone else commented, what's the point? What does that have to do with Joe Biden's campaign? Well, so I mean, detracting from the whole point, but I mean, I guess if Ron Paul, for instance, if Rand Paul was a crack addict, I don't know if that would make me to try and view it from the other side. If Rand Paul was a crack addict, would it make me think less of Ron Paul? I don't know. Maybe. Would it be justified? Maybe not. But then I posted, the story is not about the crack pipe. It's about Joe Biden's corruption or alleged corruption. I quoted from the Post article. Hunter Biden introduced his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm less than a year before the elder Biden pressured government officials in Ukraine into firing a prosecutor who was investigating the company, according to emails obtained by the Post. So I got the story wrong a little bit. The never-before-revealed meeting is mentioned in a message of appreciation that Vadim Pozyarsky, an advisor to the board of Burisma, allegedly sent Hunter Biden on April 17, 2015, about a year after Hunter joined the Burisma board at a reported salary of up to $50,000 a month. I linked to the article, New York Post. And this other guy who's the main topic of, oh, I said, and aside from this, it is super relevant because it legitimizes the fact that Trump asked the Ukrainians to look into Joe Biden. The Democrats impeached him for it, but it was legitimate. And I added that it was unconfirmed. But anyways, someone else chimed in, another guy. He said, I would say this article is way more believable than the original article posted. He's referring to the New York Post story that this acquaintance that I have posted. He said the New York Post story is the article is way more believable than the original article posted. I can only find this article, one from the Sun and the original. So the New York Post article and one from the Sun and the original article. I'd be pretty skeptical of the truth unless other outlets pick it up. So a story isn't true unless lots of articles are posting it. I don't know if I believe that. I mean, that's not very logical. However, he continues. Let's see. I'm just throwing this out there, but I'm more than happy to be critical of Biden. But this article is straight up hokey. The people that run that site, mine as well as write for Weekly World News. And he posted a link to mediabiasfactchecker.com/national-file. And so this is hard to follow, but he posted, you know, about the original article that this acquaintance of mine had posted. And it's to this National File Media Bias Fact Check. And the first thing that comes up is conspiracy level is tinfoil hat level. Pseudoscience level is strong with a low factual basis. Detailed report, factual reporting is low. Country is USA. So then it gives a history, it gives the ownership, and it gives an analysis/bias. So let me know if you think that this analysis/bias on part of Media Bias Fact Checker, let me know if you think that it sounds neutral. In review, the National File publishes conspiracy and pseudoscience-related news stories from an extreme right perspective. Articles frequently use loaded emotional language such as this, Biden slammed by the left as an attempted Social Security cutter. This story is sourced to the questionable Breitbart as well as the credible Politico. So Politico is credible, but Breitbart is not. The website also features a section dedicated to immigration that routinely portrays immigrants negatively, such as this, flashback, Swedish boy beaten by migrant for having blue eyes. In general, National File takes a strong white nationalist anti-immigrant position through negative portrayal of immigrants and or Muslims as criminals or dangerous, such as this. UK pedophile rape gang left to roam streets. Police knew, did nothing about it. National File frequently publishes conspiracies such as the Clintons being involved in human sex trafficking to World Trade Center conspiracies, implying that the towers were taken down by controlled demolition. Neither of these claims has been proven In fact, they have been debunked. And there's a link to a Popular Mechanics Debunking the 9/11 Myth special report, the World Trade Center. So you can wave a wand and put a link to a debunking article. And that means that the claims that you're talking about haven't been proven and they've been debunked. So that's, you know, that's the definitive statement on it. You don't have to look further. Take our word for it. I guess we link to the Popular Mechanics article. So that means that, you know, for instance, evidence of microthermite in the World Trade Center dust, that's not credible and that's debunked. I'm just saying that's, you know, one thing. Or the fact that, for instance, the fact that the towers collapsed it at free fall speed, they don't even mention that in the Popular Mechanics article. My point in saying that is that this Popular Mechanics article debunking 9/11 conspiracy theories does not even address the most prominent points that prominent 9/11 conspiracy truthers put forward, like Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. It doesn't mention, you know, the Alaskan study from, Fairbanks University, that did a conclusive study on World Trade Center 7 saying that it was controlled demolition. If I'm recalling right, don't take my word for it. Look into it is my whole point. I'm not endorsing, you know, one or another. In fact, I don't really know. I'm just saying that these are certain things. Anyways, you can put a sentence up saying neither of these claims has been proven. In fact, they have been debunked. And apparently then you can wash your hands of it. They also reject human influence climate change and frequently resort to pseudoscience or junk science to validate their points. Finally, they promote anti-vaccine propaganda. Oh, heavens. Such as this. Parents take to the streets to save vaccine exemptions from political elites. In general, National File is a light version of InfoWars and lacks credibility. So all you have to do is go to Media Bias Fact Check and have yourself be calmed, because you don't have to do any further work. Media Bias Fact Checker has assembled everything that you need, so you don't have to think and you don't have to actually analyze the different things. Meanwhile, if we go on to MediaBiasFactCheck.com and type in, Southern Poverty Law Center, if that comes up. Okay, Southern Poverty Law Center. Are you ready for this? Okay, so there's a spectrum on the screen, and they do put the Southern Poverty Law Center in between left and left center. It's not extreme left, but it's between left and left center. Their factual reporting rating, high. I kid you not, high. Left bias. Overall, we rate the Southern Poverty Law Center left biased based on story selection that favors the left and through strong political advocacy for social justice. We also rate them high for factual reporting due to a clean fact check record. And although they have mischaracterized some groups and individuals, they ultimately apologized. Oh, isn't that nice? Acknowledged their error and made appropriate corrections. Like when they slandered, who is it from the 10th Amendment Center? Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center completely slandered him. Was there an apology or a retraction? I don't think so. SPLC Michael Bolden. Let's see. Michael Bolden, Southern Poverty Law Center here. Michael Bolden is the founder and executive director of the 10th Amendment Center, an organization that favors, quote, nullification of federal laws it considers unconstitutional. Founded in 2007 TAC is based on an expansive reading of the 10th Amendment, which says that those powers not delegated to the United States or by the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. Actually, really important, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, let's see. As a practical matter, however, the TAC is on the political far right, opposing a whole array of federal laws and regulations, because that makes you far right. It has gained wide support among hardline libertarians and neo-Confederates who are still angry at the powers of the federal government accumulated after the Civil War that allowed it, among other things, to act against segregation, discrimination, and other social ills. In the 1950s, several states tried unsuccessfully to resist desegregation by nullifying several federal laws, because that is the entire history of the nullification movement. We can definitely boil it right down to, resisting desegregation. Never mind that it was used in the Civil War to fight against slavery, but I digress. Most notably in Wisconsin, which is the state, of course, that I live in. So Southern Poverty Law Center, factual. So we have given it a clean fact check record, and although it has sometimes mischaracterized some groups and individuals, they ultimately apologize. Interesting. Well, I'm looking through this article on the 10th Amendment Center, and I don't see an apology. I don't see a link on here that says, an earlier version of this article incorrectly and disingenuously slandered Michael Bolden, who is actually a lefty. Michael Bolden is an ideologue who has spent years promoting the idea that states can nullify federal legislation they don't like, the very same argument pushed by defenders of slavery and segregation, and just as baseless now as it was then. Okay. Thomas E. Woods, a former member of the neo-Confederate hate group League of the South and the author of Nullification, How to Resist Federal Tyranny in the 21st Century, was another constant on the Nullify Now tour. So, yes, 10th Amendment Center, high factual rating from MediaBiasFactCheck.com. I could continue. What do you think about their analysis? It sounds totally neutral, their analysis / bias. On March 29th, 2019, the SPLC had an internal conflict, resulting in co-founder Morris Dees being dismissed after current and former employees filed complaints, including sexual harassment and a lack of diversity based on race and gender. Okay, so to be fair, they're giving coverage to something that's not exactly flattering to SPLC. That doesn't go back from their high factual rating. Let's see. So as well as exposing the activities of the American radical right and white supremacists, this SPLC also designated radical groups such as the New Black Panther Party and the Nation of Islam as a hate group. In their FAQ section, they explain why they don't list Antifa as a hate group and answer questions such as how they classify anti-immigrant hate groups and anti-LGBT hate groups. Let's see. To be fair here, the Southern Poverty Law Center uses emotionally loaded headlines such as these: President Trump is stoking white nationalism, exploiting racist fear, and, quote, in the wake of Trump's shithole comments, celebration among the far right. Further, the SPLC sources their information with quotes, video, audio evidence, but often does not hyperlink to other sources. In general, the majority of articles published by SPLC favor the left and portray the right negatively. The SPLC is often criticized by hate groups and the far right as being extreme left biased. This is not accurate. The SPLC applies a methodology to their designations that is consistent no matter what side, left or right, the groups are on. SPLC explains on their FAQ page, so it must be right, that there are simply more hate groups affiliated with the right based on their definition of a hate group, which states, quote, has beliefs or practices that attack or malign an entire class of people, typically for their immutable characteristics. Okay, so just so I by that logic, I don't know, you could say that the Antifa is not a hate group because they hate white people. Even though they hate white people, Antifa is not a hate group. Or, you know, these certain because they hate all rich people, people born into rich families, they're not a hate group. It's just ridiculous. So a factual research reveals that SPLC has not failed to fact check. So let's look at another source. I was trying to look at, let's see, Left. Center for a Stateless Society is on here. That's funny. Oh, and they have a high factual basis rating. Okay. I was looking at something like, sorry for this pause. I'm just trying to look. GQ Magazine. Let's look at them. Actually, Teen Vogue. Let's look at them. They've had some really great ones lately. Teen Vogue. Mostly factual rating. I wonder if you can put in CNN or New York Times. New York Times. Left center bias. High factual basis. Like when they lied about WMDs and encouraged the United States to enter the war in Iraq. So, I mean, you kind of get the point here. But I guess I want to underline, and I hope this has been, oh, let's see, antifascistnews.net. Mixed. Interesting. So they get a mixed rating. CNN. Mixed. Interesting. Okay, I'm a little surprised here. TV hosts have also failed fact checks by independent fact checkers. Further, CNN has retracted published stories. So, but the thing is, you get a mixed rating here, but you don't get a low or a very low rating from CNN. I mean, CNN has been caught in some major blunders lately. Daily Beast is in here. Daily Beast has a mostly factual rating. So I guess my whole point is that don't take my word for it either and research everything. I told this guy, I commented when he linked to this website, I said, it's hard not to come off aggressive or condescending in plain social media text. So disclaimer, that is absolutely not my intent here. But have you considered that fact-checking websites like Snopes and Media Bias Fact Check may also have their own agenda and biases? It's an honest question. In my opinion, they are even more insidious because they plant their own narrative by backstopping people's confirmation bias, by giving them the illusion that someone has looked into this. And someone did a laugh emoji to that post. He says, I see your point. I wanted to see what he was going to say. He says, I see your point. I have not had that experience with this site. The site is not saying anything is true or false. It just records bias and labels it plainly. Yeah, really? Okay. So when I go in and it says that the Corbett Report is conspiracy theory nonsense and pseudoscience, I think that is some kind of a saying or hinting that something is true or false. So I hate this this objective myth, this pandering that we're objective. So I really want to see what this guy who did the laugh emoji to my comment, I want to see what he would say to this. So he says, by the way, you didn't come off as condescending or anything. You asked a very valid question, and I appreciate your question. So I don't have any malice or malcontent towards this individual. And even though I disagree with him, I respect his opinion. He says, but to be fair, there was a very large amount of proof in court records that Trump was sexually abusing a teenager. He didn't link to that, so I don't know if that's true or not. He said Snopes was one of the only people talking about it and clarified that it was dubious. It didn't outright say it was or wasn't true, but was fair on saying that the evidence is suspect. That is a very different analysis of the keyboard warriors on Facebook who don't understand how to self-fact check. So, I don't know, man. Like, I think this guy, he thinks that he can post to mediabiasfactcheck.com. I think he actually read the New York Post article. So I don't think he's like an idiot or anything like that. But I thought it was interesting, and I wouldn't put any faith at all in these media bias fact checker sites. So Well, I'll leave it off there. I'm kind of wrapping up here. There's a 30 minute time limit for segments on anchor.fm, and I'm 26 seconds away. So I really appreciate you listening. Be sure to share the Liberty Bigley podcast if you enjoy it. I really appreciate you listening. And Keith Knight is coming up this weekend. We're recording about how to be free in an unfree world, the five biggest regrets of the dying, which would be really interesting. So hope you're all having a good week. I'll probably talk to you tomorrow. Peace.